Tune into 102.5 The Game this Sunday for coverage of the Coca-Cola 600 at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Coverage will begin at 4 p.m. The race starts at 5. Coverage also available on the 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. Force Company, Saturday mornings, you're on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Kieser, Nick Frazier, and Connor Newt. And we are thrilled now to be joined by Eric Erlandson of LightningInsider.com, covering the Tampa Bay Lightning for the last 23 years. Eric, so glad to have you on. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on, Eric. Appreciate you taking the time. Obviously, the big news this week between Nashville and Tampa Bay, Ryan McDonagh traded back to the Lightning. Just want to get your initial reaction to the move as McDonagh, who won two cups with the Lightning, comes back down there and looks to add a little bit more veteran presence to that room.
I think caught a lot of people by surprise, especially when you factor in that the reason that the Lightning traded Ryan McDonagh 2 years ago was because they were in a cap crunch. Well, they're still in a cap crunch. That hasn't changed. So to bring him back, I think, was a surprise, a pleasant surprise, though. He was such an integral part of the back-to-back championships and the three straight appearances in the Stanley Cup final. You know, you go back and you look at some of the highlights of that those two championship seasons, and Ryan McDonagh was right in the middle of some of those key moments, right? Like, he had the pass to set up Nikita Kucherov with 7 seconds to go, I think, in game three of the Eastern Conference Finals against the Islanders. He had a block shot and set up Braden Point, for a breakaway in game one against the Panthers. He even had some Conn Smythe consideration in 2022. That's how key of a player, or 2021 rather, that's how key of a player he was. So to bring him back at a time where the Lightning were looking for a top four defenseman, I think that the timing was right in a lot of ways. And, I think a lot of people down here now especially have a lot more respect for Barry Trotz than maybe they had before. That's saying something, because McDonagh did go to Barry and say, hey, if this ever materializes, if it's ever a possibility, I'd be willing to explore it. And sure enough, he made it happen.
Eric, along those lines, adding McDonagh back to the Lightning, what addition to subtraction, what subtractions will the Lightning have to make from their roster coming up in the coming season?
Yeah, that's a very good point. Like I said, the cap crunch is still there. They have to re-sign Steven Stamkos, which I think is going to get done eventually before he reaches free agency. But to make that happen, you probably have to move somebody out. And if that's the case, the two likely candidates, simply because in an age where so many players have some sort of trade protection or no move clauses in their contract, the two guys that don't have it right now are Eric Chernak and Anthony Cirelli. And you hate to part ways with guys that have been key players for you. That was the case 2 years ago with McDonagh. Those are the two candidates most likely to be looked at. I'm not saying that they have to trade one of those guys or they want to trade one of those guys, but if you're looking for salary cap relief, those are the areas you're going to look at just because of their contracts. But, Julien Brisebois, the general manager here, told us when he spoke the other day about the trade, is that they feel they have an adequate amount of space and everything else to make everything work this summer, including Steven Stamkos. I take him at face value, but you start to crunch the numbers and you wonder where that cap space is going to come from, because they only have 10 forwards under contract right now. Somebody's probably going to have to go. And if you're looking at prime candidates to open up some cap space, the two guys that everybody's going to look at are Chernak and Cirelli.
Eric Erlandson is with us. Nick Kieser here speaking with you now. Now, Eric, we know that there are 10 guys under contract that either have a full no move or a modified no move. So you are right. They're going to have to dance around some of those bigger pieces that they may not want to move, but they might explore. Now, under that regard, they need draft picks. Do you think they envision maybe dealing with a team that is on the rise? I mean, look what Columbus is doing. They've gone and said, hey, we want to get a new great GM here. So do you think it's a team on the rise that says, hey, we'll take on someone like that?
For sure. I'd even look at the former Phoenix, Arizona, now Utah franchise, right? Like, the owner's come out and already said he's willing to spend money, probably to the cap. So there's another place to look at too in terms of bringing that in. You're right, they don't have a lot of draft capital. They traded another second round draft pick in the deal to acquire Ryan McDonagh, so they don't have a first or a second. I don't even think they have a third going into this year's draft. They don't have a first or a second going into next year's draft, so they don't have those replenishing tools in terms of draft picks and younger players to bring in. So if you're going to, you know, bring some of that draft capital back, and they did that last year, right? They traded Ross Colton to Colorado for a second round pick, turned that into Ethan Gauthier, who's in the Memorial Cup, playing right now. You know, so they have that ability. And you're right. I think that's where you would have to look for a team that wants to make a push up the standings, preferably not one in their division. I don't think you want to look towards Buffalo or Ottawa and strengthen those teams. So I would definitely look at, certainly to the West and maybe to the Metro Division to make that happen.
Absolutely. So, Eric, we've got Anthony Duclair, Tyler Mott, obviously Steven Stamkos, Austin Watson, by the way, a former Nashville Predator, and then you've also got on defense Calvin DeHaan, and then you've got Matt Dumba and Hayden Fleury. So out of how many of these guys, ballparking, you've kind of talked about the entire UFA class this summer, who do you think they actually try to keep? You know, there, a lot of those guys have the cultural value. Obviously, Duclair was a deadline trade, and then Austin Watson and Tyler Mott, they've just been those gritty guys in the lineup. So do you think there's anyone that they're trying to keep there for culture purposes? Because McDonough's one of them from Nashville, but do you think is there anyone else that will stay there, you think?
Well, yeah, we'll take Stamkos off that list because of fact that I find he's going to be back. I think they'd like to bring back Anthony Duclair. Again, it's a question of cost. He was a pretty good fit in the top six. I mean, he changed the way that their top six looked. That's why they got on such a hot streak after they acquired him post-trade deadline and put themselves in position to make the playoffs when they were just kind of on the cusp. I think they'd love to keep Tyler Mott. Tyler Mott is a fantastic penalty killer. He's almost a prototypical third, fourth line type of forward who can do a lot of those hard things for you. You know, I think Tyler's probably going to be looking for a little bit more of a longer-term deal with more, a higher cap hit than what he got this year. Remember, he didn't sign until August this year. He was looking for more money in free agency. He didn't get it. I think it's hard to imagine them. I think they'd like to bring him back, but I think it's hard to imagine that. After that, those list of guys, I don't see a scenario where any of those other guys are coming back. I'm not going to rule it out, but I don't think it's going to happen. Hayden Fleury was here for a couple years. Was injured this year. He had opportunities to play with the injury to Mikhail Sergachev. Just couldn't stay healthy to get in there. Austin Watson didn't play a ton this season. Certainly a great locker room guy and the presence that he brings and when he's out there. But I think if you're going to look at guys they'd like to bring back outside of Stamkos, it's probably Duclair and Mott.
Eric Erlandson, 23-year veteran covering the Tampa Bay Lightning over at LightningInsider.com, is with us here on Forrest Company. Last one here for you, Eric. Just as an outsider looking in at this Nashville Predators team, we've kind of talked about how the core is getting a little bit older, but there are some young players on this team. How do you view this Nashville Predators franchise heading into this offseason and maybe the moves they could make to get themselves back to being towards the top of the Western Conference?
Well, I kind of look at them, and first of all, what's their goaltending future look like? I mean, they've been such a goaltending, just spitting out grade-A goaltenders for years, all right, Pecorine and going right into UC Saros, and now you have Askarov, playing for Milwaukee and their run that they're doing in their postseason. At some point, that has to be decided, right? It's not too dissimilar to here a number of years ago when the Lightning had Ben Bishop, but they also had Andre Vasilevskiy working his way up. And, I mean, that's where things have to be settled at some point. You can't have – not too many teams are going to find the success the Bruins have had with an Allmark and a Swayman. At some point, I think you have to have, the guy when you get to the postseason. So I think that has to be decided. But Ryan O'Reilly is a great leader. I mean, he's fantastic defender. We saw him in the playoffs last year with Toronto and the difference that he made for the Leafs in winning that first-round series against the Lightning last year. Roman Josi, just one of the top players in the league year after year. Their core is a little bit like the Lightning's. Yeah, you have a couple of guys who are in their, late 20s, early 30s that are on the other side of their careers at this point, but even though they're still very productive. And then you've got, the Evangelistas and those type of players who are younger players who can come in and contribute. And you need that balance. They were right there in that series with Vancouver, right? I think just a little bit more of a scoring pop, I think, probably puts them over the edge. We know they have the defensive awareness, the defensive acumen that they have. So I think if you just find maybe that one more top six forward that kind of gives them that extra push, that extra goal when you need it, I think that might be the difference for the Preds.
Eric, thanks so much for joining us. Always appreciate your insights. Hope you have a great Memorial Day weekend. Thanks again for coming on.
Hey, my pleasure. Be well, boys.
Yeah, you too. Thank you, Eric. Yeah, great conversation. Lots of good insight on what to expect with Tampa's offseason. And then also, it was kind of interesting to hear him talk about the draft picks because when Nashville traded Tanner Janot, you know, they got a slew of draft picks. So Nashville obviously dealt McDonough back to Tampa Bay. Good to hear from Eric. He's been a guest on Behind Enemy Lines. I'm sure that he will be next year as well. So good insight. So looking forward to seeing what the offseason looks like down in Tampa because that's a lot of drama with Steven. But also, what does Nashville do with the empty hole on defense?
Eric Erlandson, again, from LightningInsider.com. Appreciate him coming on the show, talking some Preds and some Lightning after the trade of Ryan McDonough earlier this week. When we come back here on Force Company, it's time for Newt's Notes. Connor was in studio yesterday, so we got Ian's insights, but Newt's back in his rightful place coming up next here on Force Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.